If a Christian doesn't pray about heaven, that's a remarkable lack. Who ever heard of exiles not thinking about home?
Now, I said, that's exactly what the rosary is. We are in a new moment of time and a new moment of space. So we keep saying to our Lord and to the Blessed Mother, I love you, I love you.
That's the Holy Rosary. That's the Catholic faith. The whole Catholic faith is in it.
Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decade, your rosary on the road, or today in the office, because the road is the cars and the shop. So I'm recording on my lunch break, which means I'll get this posted a little bit late, but that's okay. It's one of those things that happens, and it's getting posted. I'm dedicated to not skipping any, to not falling behind at all. I really want this to wrap up on the 16th of December so that those last few days as we're getting out of Advent, everybody can kind of, if you make the choice to, and I encourage you to do so, you're able to get away from technology in general and just focus yourself on what we all should be doing, which is preparing for the coming of the Nativity of our Lord. So, having said that, I am going to make sure that we wrap things up here on time. Now, we've got a prayer request today, and I hope that I get the names right, because they are only one of them is one that I'm not sure how to pronounce it, which is, Faith Agama and Esther Joseph. There's a prayer that was submitted by Faustina, one of my listeners, and she's praying for both of these against miscarriage. Now, I'm not sure whether we've got two separate pregnancies, or whether, because of the nature of the names, I'm not sure of if they're a couple, if they're a married couple, I should say, or if it's two separate women. Since they both have female first names, Esther and Faith, I'm going to assume it's two separate women who both happen to be pregnant. So I'm going to pray for two handmaids of God. But Faustina, if you're listening to this and I've got it wrong, please feel free to drop a line on the Telegram channel where you submitted the prayer request and correct me, and I'll issue a correction the next time that I do a recording. So we're going to pray against miscarriage, which I'm going to pray to Saint Gerard and Saint Anthony, I think, is a good person to go to. There's a little novena I recently discovered for women who are trying to have a baby and are struggling with it, who go to Saint Anthony of Padua. And I have a very strong devotion to Saint Anthony of Padua, or I guess I should say, I have a very strong desire to have a strong devotion to Saint Anthony, because so many members of my family do, several of my children do, have a very strong devotion to Saint Anthony, and I've always kind of admired that, honestly. Anytime that one of my kids latches onto a saint that I myself am not attached to, I have a lot of admiration for the thought that goes into that. Maybe it's not thought, it's awareness. Thought is the wrong word. It's not necessarily a rational choice, but it does require a degree of spiritual awareness to be drawn to a saint. It's not that you give a lot of thought and you make a rational decision, I like this saint, I'm going with this one, this is mine. It's more a matter of having your ears open. So often saints will be looking out and will choose to help us individually. Just as we have just angels that are assigned to us, but saints find us, and it really is just out of the same charity, the same love of God that made them saints, that they choose to help us when they do sort of reach out and inspire in us a devotion. So it's always Saint Anthony hasn't reached out to me. So I have a lot of deep love for anyone who does have a, or anyone's devotion to St. Anthony. And of course, St. Gerard is he's always a good one to go to for anyone with pregnancy issues, or even with concerns in a pregnancy. So we're going to pray for those two. If you have any prayer requests, I've got two Requiem prayers or sickness prayers open, the 9th of December, 16th of December. After that, that's done for December. That's it for the 10th series of the Daily Decade. The 11th series will kick back into gear on the 9th of January. That's my current, that's the current goal. And then we'll start filling up throughout the, throughout 2023, the calendar year 2023. So feel free to write in Daily Decade requests, Decade, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural at proton.me or protonmail.com. They both work. You can also drop a line on the Telegram, on Gab, or on the Fediverse. I'm on post, POA.ST, all those places, it's at the Daily Decade. You can find me on any one of those, or the email, or the website, praytherosaryeveryday.wordpress.com. You can comment with a prayer request on any one of the episodes that I've posted there. I am going to be turning my attention. I had hoped to begin doing that this week, but life got crazy for me, so I wasn't able to do it. But I will be expanding that with some more prayers and making it a little bit more of a resource for everyone. There was magnificent website, and it was also a WordPress that was done by a traditionalist Catholic. Actually, I think it was done by a sedevacantist that had every single day there was either a feast or there was a saint that was posted, even the devotional feasts. And by that I mean the ones that aren't ranked liturgically, so you don't have a they're not commemorated in the liturgy. The Feria is a superior ranking to that particular saint's feast. But nevertheless, this website, and it's been down now, he closed it over a year ago, because I was using it very early on, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. If you go back through the Telegram page for the Daily Decade, you'll find where I stopped posting those. And where I stopped posting those was when the website went dead. I really hope to eventually get to a point where on the Daily Decade website, on Pray the Rosary Every Day, you'll have Saints' Days that are posted there, so you can go back over and see, hey, whose feast day is today? Yes, I know it's not being celebrated in the Mass, but who's the saint I should be thinking about and praying to today? Because it is a good devotion to get into the habit of reaching out to those people who are currently in heaven and making it known to God through as many voices as we possibly can that we want to be what He wants us to be, especially in this season of Advent, when we should be thinking about our end, we should be thinking about the end of the world, and we should be thinking about in addition to the justice of God that represents, we're trying to focus ourselves on exactly how merciful it was for Him to choose to incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ and to open up to us the salvation that had originally been, was it's salvation now because we're being saved from ourselves, but it was always the intention of God to make this grace available to us from the very moment of our creation. And when Adam and Eve fell, that's what they lost. And He chose to restore that to us, and not through any effort or merit of our own. So the mercy and justice of God are two things that are just central to everything we do in Advent. And as a result of that, it's very good for us to be thinking about how we can draw nearer to God. And one of the ways to do that is to put as many voices in His ear as possible to ask for the grace that we need to live like saints. And being aware of what Saints' Day it is and who to talk to, and developing a specific devotion to one or another saint is a good way to make sure that your name is on the lips of the courtiers in heaven, because they are always there adoring God, and God is ready to hear them. Our blessed Lord talked about the unjust judge, so the widow that kept harassing him until finally I just want to get rid of her. And he doesn't care about her case. He doesn't care about the widows and the orphans, but he wants to shut her up. And so he listens to her in the end. And God does care about the widows and the orphans. So how much more will he hear us in prayer than the unjust judge? So good reason to approach the saints. Now, that's all having been said. That's my little aside at the beginning of the episode. The good stuff comes after the rosary. Now let's go ahead and get our rosaries out. Today we're praying the Glorious Mysteries, and we're praying for Faith and Esther, or Faith Agana, Esther Joseph, for successful pregnancy and the growth of their families in number and in faith and in health. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who by the Holy Ghost was conceived, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For an increase in faith, hope, and charity, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The third glorious mystery is the descent of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us. And after this, our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. O God, who didst deign to send thine only begotten Son, who by his life, death, and resurrection did purchase for us the rewards of eternal life, look with favor on us, that meditating on the sacred mysteries of the most holy rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Gerard, we once again come before thee, begging thy intercession. For the handmaidens of God, Faith and Esther, and for their pregnancies, that they be successful, that they cause them growth in the faith, that they bring forth healthy children that are signs and signposts of holiness. Saint Anthony of Padua, long a patron of children, let these children be strong, and with thy famed eloquence, address the throne of Christ our Lord, that he may see fit to extend his hands over these handmaidens of God, of him, of the Almighty, and over their children, that they may be as voices crying out in the wilderness of this world in which we live, that they may direct all those that love them to love you. And we ask this in the name of the same Jesus Christ, who livest and reignest with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us, in our uncertainties, in our difficulties, and our trials, which may bring forth greater love for God, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The coming of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles and the disciples and the holy women at Pentecost is a unique event in the history of salvation. And it is celebrated as one of the three great moments in the liturgical year because of that. It's a new beginning. When the world was created, and we read in Genesis that the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and we know that God walked in the garden, and when we say God walked in the garden, almost universally we understand that it was the Word which spoke to Adam and Eve. It was Christ, not yet Jesus as he would be physically on earth in the temporal space that he occupied as the Son of Mary and the Son of David and the Son of God. But it was nevertheless the Son that came and spoke with Adam and Eve and passed judgment upon them after giving them an opportunity to repent, just as he comes and gives us all an opportunity to repent. It says in John 3:17, he's not here to condemn us. That comes later. He is going to be coming back, and we are going to be placed under judgment. But up to this point, every interaction that we have had as a species with Christ, with the Son, the second person of the Trinity, has been one in which he has given us a chance to turn things around. Now, after Adam and Eve chose not to do that, the rest of us were all sort of trapped in we were sort of stuck in a rut spiritually going forward until the time was ripe that he could come to us in the nativity that we're going to be celebrating, and he could open up the gates of heaven for us through the sacrifice on the cross. And so the descent of the Holy Ghost is this sort of promise. It's almost like the rainbow after the flood, when God places his bow in the sky. And that's important. When we talk about the rainbow, what they mean, they quite literally mean a bow, an archer's bow. God shoots arrows of judgment upon the world, and this, the warrior God, is hanging his bow up in the sky to show peace exists between him and his creation, which has rebelled against him so violently. The coming of the Holy Ghost is a promise. It is God opening up to us the wisdom that we might have had if it had been given to us freely and we had not chosen to steal it from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Holy Ghost is there to open that up to us again. The fullness of our of the intended end for us is opened by the descent of the Holy Ghost. And so, just in the way that we had no way out before, now we have a way out, but we don't have any excuses anymore. So the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, as Job says. He has given us the Holy Ghost as a guaranteed means that if we cling to the wisdom of the Holy Ghost and we examine ourselves thoroughly and we understand what we are supposed to understand, we engage with the gifts of the Holy Ghost, then we have a guarantee that we have access to everything we need to fix in ourselves, or rather to have fixed in ourselves, what is wrong with us as a result of original sin. Now, that doesn't mean that we get to fix it ourselves. That doesn't mean that we have, here's the tool set, get to work. But rather that it is open to us to go into God and to have him make the repairs necessary. The Holy Ghost is the opening of the door, the knowledge that we need of where to go, how to get there, how to pay, and what needs to be done. My car's in the shop, so I'm thinking about this. You go to a mechanic, and the mechanic will charge you more if you don't know what's wrong with your car. In most cases, you have a diagnostic fee. That's pretty standard for most mechanic shops. The diagnostic fee that we had on ourselves was unpayable before. Now we've been given, it's as though God has posted all his prices, so to speak. He's made it available to us how exactly to diagnose what's wrong with us, so we can go to him and say, this is what's wrong with me. This is what needs to be fixed. I can't do it myself. I don't have the necessary implements. So actually, if you don't have a lift, you don't have a jack to lift the car up and get underneath it, you can have a hard time working on it. You'll never really get it right. Whereas you go to a garage, you have everything that you need to get it up off the ground, to get underneath it, to do all of that work. Well, that's grace. that lifts us up so that God can get to work on us and fix us. Because it's only God, it's only Christ that can do that. And so the descent of the Holy Ghost is this opening, this great, this confirmation of a promise. It is the, it's not the covenant itself. The covenant is made in the blood of Christ, but it is the fulfillment of that covenant. It is the first step, the first manifestation of the covenant. In the same way that Isaac becomes the first manifestation of the covenant that God makes with Abraham earlier than that. And God makes this covenant with Abraham, and then he puts him on a shelf. He says, I will make of you a great nation. Your descendants shall number more than the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. Now go. Come back later. And Abraham wanders about with Sarah, and Sarah eventually, Sarai, becomes untrusting of God. And she says, you know, God helps those that help themselves, right? Help. Well, here's Hagar, help yourself. And the result of that is the child of the bondwoman, who offers us the alternative to the child of the free woman. We are children of the promise. We are not children of the bondwoman. We are not children of sin and of darkness. We are children of the light. And so in this way, God takes Sarai's lack of faith and turns it into a lesson for all of us. But the lack of faith grew out of impatience. God creates this. There's a gap between the promise made and the promise fulfilled. Same thing is true of Pentecost. Christ dies. He descends into hell, harrows hell. All the meanwhile, while that's happening, the apostles are up in the upper room wringing their hands, not believing until he manifests to them. And then he ascends into heaven, and again, they're all wailing. What are we going to do? And he says, don't be afraid. I have to go back, or I can't send you the Holy Ghost. And that's the only way that you can become what I and my Father intend you to be, is if the Holy Ghost comes to you, and he will enlighten you. I am with you always, even to the consummation of the world. These comforting words that Christ gives to us before he departs in ascension. And the apostles retreat, and they hide themselves again. That uncertainty, that doubt. They don't have the courage to go forth yet. And then, after all of that time, they are patient, and their patience is rewarded. The Holy Ghost descends upon them. There's a great thunder, a great wind. Everybody in Jerusalem is drawn by this massive noise. And then, when the noise is silent, when the thunder is gone, the earthquake is gone, they go forth and they preach, and God speaks through them, the Holy Ghost. And so their patience is rewarded. And we too have promises made to us that will be rewarded by our patience. We too have this great gift that prepares us for the coming of Christ in the second coming. And more terrifying, I suppose more terrible and somewhat and frightening, and it should frighten us. We should have a fear of this. We have no excuses now. With the Holy Ghost, we have no way to say, I didn't know. We have no defense before the dread judgment seat anymore. The only defense that we have is our trust in the mercy of God that sent the Holy Ghost to us in the first place. The Paraclete, the Comforter. That's why he's a comforter. He's the guarantee of God's mercy. That's the only defense we have before the dread judgment seat. And so that's what we should reflect on when we think about the coming of the Holy Ghost in conjunction with the nativity of Christ. Both of these are great acts of God's mercy to prepare us for the inevitable, perfect, and omnipotent judge that we must face at the end of time, against whom we have no defense and no excuses. May we all be ready when the time comes, for us individually or at the general resurrection. And may we use this time of Advent to ensure that we're prepared. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The moon is the symbol of Our Lady. The moon is for those in darkness. And I think in a special way for sinners. So that if we but look to her who is the moon and derives all light from the sun, they would never fall into an abyss. Now this is the rosary.